League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I'm about whatever, man. What they be talking about? Their opinion doesn't count. We the only thing that matters.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Josh Pate is joining us now every week. He talks to college football, and we had to move him yesterday. Those of you that are getting used to Josh at 8:30 on Wednesdays, unfortunately, we had to move it because it was the huge game one win by Yordan Alvarez. Josh, welcome in. We appreciate you moving to today. Thanks so much.
Well, you're not alone here, because I went to a party last night, if you want to call it that, because it was thrown by management. And so this was about 30 or 35 folks in a room, but the Braves game got delayed about 3 hours. So it didn't start until the party started. And there's a picture floating around out there, I'm told, of me kind of sitting like a hermit over on a couch while everyone else had fun, because I was locked in. Braves had to have that thing last night. So I'm right there with you. Playoff baseball's big time.
All right, let me ask you this question now. Yordan Alvarez, tight end or defensive end?
Ooh, man. You know, I think if he made the decision.
3-4 defensive end, too. Could be a 3. Could be like Eric Armstead or DeForest Buckner. Could be one of those 3-4-5 techniques.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of guy who, if he made his mind up in the spring, could probably use the spring and summer to get himself ready to play either of those positions. So I think it's up to him.
Totally. Whatever you want to play, Yordan. Okay, we're good with that.
I'll never forget, I was sitting in seats. This is when Jerry Del Pret from Golden Nugget years ago gave me he gave me a couple tickets pretty close to the court. Actually, was on the front row because he had Tillman's tickets before Tillman owned the Rockets. And I was sitting there with Chris Ballard, who is now the GM of the Colts, but at that time was a scout for the Chicago Bears. And we're sitting on the floor watching the game, and all he could talk about was, I could make Chuck Hayes into a defensive end. I guarantee you that Chuck Hayes could be a good NFL defensive end. He couldn't stop saying that. And, you know, sometimes I think about when you look at, you know, the amount of college basketball players that go into the NFL and become tight ends, I do find it interesting when I'm watching college football players and think, I wonder what would happen if this guy was a soccer player in the World Cup. Right. How much better the U.S. would be if A-Chain could put a foot on, could put a soccer ball at the end of his foot. All of a sudden, well, good luck, France. Good luck stopping this guy down the flank. So, but luckily, as football fans, we get a lot of our best athletes playing football.
That's absolutely. All right, let's talk a little bit about this weekend. What kind of chance you give Tennessee against Alabama?
Well, I picked them to win, so I guess I give them a pretty good chance.
Wow.
And I kind of said I would do it regardless of quarterback situation. The reason I say that is because I don't think they're, if we had a deck of cards here of possible scenarios, I don't think there's a 100% Bryce Young card in the deck this weekend. So if we get him, and I think we will, I've got to think there is at least some limitation to what they can do, some limitation to what Bill O'Brien's willing to call. And the simple fact is Tennessee's rushing defense has been a lot better than people realize. I mean, statistically, the top 10. And the reason I mention that is because if Alabama cannot fully leverage their passing game, we may get into a situation where Tennessee learns that they can key on the run a little bit more. And if they can afford to key on it, they are good enough to not stop Bama, but slow Bama down. And I think that in a game where Tennessee figures to be able to score, in a game where I think they're peaking, in a game where I don't think Bama's playing the best ball they'll play all year yet, and in a game where Neyland Stadium could sound unlike anything people 40 years old or younger have ever heard, I just think it's a perfect time for Tennessee to pull it off.
Wow.
I mean, you got a quarterback, and one thing historically, what has given Nick Saban's defense problems? They have two very competent, very good pass rushers although I would say Dallas Turner, to me, is more consistent right now than even Will Anderson has been. But I think the one thing that, you know, if you beat Nick Saban, you typically need to have a quarterback that can run a little bit. You typically need to have that. And Hooker can do that. And when you look at who the two teams have played, okay, you know, Alabama's played A&M, Arkansas, and Texas. Josh, that gives you – those are pretty decent looks. Tennessee has had LSU, Florida, and to a lesser extent Pitt. But both these teams are 11-0. They're, if these kind of things matter to you, they're 8-3 against the spread, 4-1 for Tennessee, 4-2 for Alabama. They have some similar strengths and weaknesses when everybody's fully healthy. I guess the big difference is going to be, can Hooker have a performance that vaults him into true Heisman Trophy winning conversation? Because that's what's going to happen if they win.
Yeah, it's always precision passing. It's always those 50-50 balls that somehow get turned into 70-30 balls because you're playing Alabama. That's how that performance normally goes down. But you mentioned Hooker, and I think it's important to note one of the many impressive things about him is he hadn't thrown a turnover since he was like, or he hadn't thrown an interception since he was like 5 years old. It feels like it's been forever since he's done it. And so when you look at Tennessee's offensive numbers, that has baked into it the fact that Hendon Hooker has not thrown interceptions. Now, what can be interesting here and what could potentially really turn this thing sideways in favor of Alabama is, yeah, if you got a healthy Bryce Young or he was good enough to do what he does, that would be favorable for them. But also, you mentioned Turner, you mentioned Will Anderson, Braswell, 41. You mentioned the kind of pass rush you can throw at Tennessee. There's a scenario where that just overwhelms them. It throws off their timing and rhythm, and it doesn't have to happen by much. It can just be fractions of a second here and there, and they get a little wobbly offensively. And all of a sudden, you got a more turnover-prone offense. We haven't really seen how they react and how they respond. We saw Bama turn it over a bunch last week. I think it would be kind of ironic if they went on the road and ended up winning a game because they forced the other team to do it. I know that game's coming. I feel the same way with USC. They keep being plus in the turnover battle every week. Well, there is coming a week, because of how random that stat is, where they're -2, -3. You got to figure out how you, because Bama had that week last week and they still won. You got to figure out how you're going to stand up when that gets thrown at you. You just, if you're Tennessee, hope that's not this weekend.
Yep. That's Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 at Lake Kicks. Penn State at Michigan. Do you think they can go in there? Penn State can go in there and take care of that business?
Well, it really comes down to probably how well Penn State can run the ball. I didn't know this, but my stats and info team, which is a team of two people, came to me the other day right before the show. They said, look what we just found. It was like NASA discovering water on the moon. They run into my office. Look what we just found. And they said, when Sean Clifford throws 29 passes or fewer, their record is almost spotless. And when he throws 35 or more passes, they're 1-5. So they need to be able to run the ball well. Now, a person who hasn't watched much college football could look at Penn State's rushing numbers and see that they're 33rd in the country and say, big deal, 33rd? That's not great. Well, for Penn State it is, because Penn State's been horrific trying to run the ball. It's not because they haven't tried. They've just been horrific the past few years. So here's the problem. They finally go up against the top 10 rushing defense this week. And if they cannot maintain some consistency, if they can't get some explosives on the ground, that's the kind of offense that may grind to an absolute halt. What's interesting on the other side is McCarthy from Michigan has the highest completion percentage in the country right now among FBS quarterbacks. He's around 78%. Penn State defensively allows about 49% completion rate per week right now. So there's a lot of oil and water statistically about this game. I leaned Michigan. I think it's a very low-scoring game. I think the total, candidly, in the low 50s is too high. So I just took the under here, and I expect a really close, hard-fought game. But I'll tell you, it's hard for me to envision Penn State bucking that trend and just running the ball consistently. Now, they do have a player, albeit a freshman, in Nick Singleton, who can take over a game. He has that potential. But I'm not sure they have the push up front. I'm not sure they have the high caliber enough offensive line to take over a game of this magnitude. So I went Michigan. I've seen Penn State prove me wrong on the road already this year, up close and personal at Auburn. I think this is a different kind of team than they faced at Auburn. So I went Michigan.
I watched a lot of that Indiana game last week. They did not look like a top five team. That's for sure. Maybe you know, they bounce back this week. What about this Oklahoma State TCU game? It's taken on some new meaning the way TCU's offense is real.
Yeah, they are, and they're leveraging playmakers. You know, mm-hmm. Quentin Johnson out there is a guy who should be leveraged, and he almost matched his entire season production last week alone. I think he had 14 catches. And they, you know, they look like a team that's also peaking. Now, here's what you always worry about in college. You may even worry about this in the NFL, but especially with college kids, they've been up 2 weeks in a row. You could not play any better than they did against Oklahoma. They had a dogfight on the road at Kansas. Jalen Daniels goes down. They end up getting the win on the road. And it's that whole do-down situation sometimes after you've been up a couple of weeks that you worry about. But I'll counter that with this. Oklahoma State, I think kind of quietly last week, they beat Texas Tech. And that's great. You dive into the box score and you realize defensively they were on the field 104 plays last week. And so now they got to go on the road against a team who can score on you all day like TCU. I'm not so sure the dynamics don't favor TCU. I mean, Max Duggan, it makes it hard to believe there was a quarterback battle there in the spring and fall because Max Duggan played really, really good ball. I've gotten the sense that Oklahoma State, whereas in the preseason I had them rated higher than, you know, the AP would have. I think the AP's gotten a tick too high on them right now, but I understand why they're there. I think this may be the first loss for them this weekend. But here's why, selfishly, I kind of hope I'm wrong. If they do win this game against TCU, I think most of you know who they play next week. But if you don't know, that would be undefeated Oklahoma State at home welcoming in Texas. And here's what would make that really fun. I can promise you, Texas will be favored in Stillwater. So that would be a two-loss Texas team favored against undefeated Oklahoma State. And I would just love to see how the college football public in general tries to process that.
That's going to be a tale of
two Longhorn teams right now.
Yeah, right.
Because
Quinn Ewers is real.
The Quinn Ewers for almost one quarter, and then, of course, against a bad Oklahoma defense. But he looked really good in those five
Quinn
quarters.
Quinn Ewers is,
you know,
real.
So, yeah, and we had not heard. We had heard, you know, kind of the opposite. Like, Quinn doesn't look that great here. We don't know who the start. And all of a sudden, Quinn comes out against Alabama like, bing, bang, boom. What? And you were there at the game, Josh. I mean, all of a sudden, this guy, Xavier Worthy, doesn't drop a long touchdown pass. And it's maybe a little different game even in the first quarter.
I just think that he's really good. And I know that's a basic statement, but there's this thing people do sometimes, I'm sure you guys have kind of caught on to it, where if a player who has not played meaningful downs, or in his case, just hadn't played at all, if they receive any hype at all, there's this crowd that automatically defaults to, oh, he won't be good, he hasn't proven himself. Well, one of those can be true. He hasn't proven himself. But, you know, this is not 1948. Like, we have some advanced work done on these guys. We get a lot of eyeballs on them. We know about the physical tools. Right. Now, from the neck up, yeah, I will admit it's a crapshoot sometimes to know how they're going to process this whole college football thing. But it should not shock people that Quinn Ewers is pretty good at throwing a football, and yet it has shocked some people, which is amazing to me.
That's Josh Pate, host of Late Kick Live at Late Kick Josh on Twitter every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks for moving for us. We really appreciate it. Enjoy your Astros baseball this afternoon.
All right, we'll see you in the World Series. I appreciate it.
All right, pal. We'll see. No, I don't want to see.
I hope not.
I don't want to see Atlanta.
I don't want to see Atlanta.
I don't want no part of that. What I do want a part of is Chastain Ford. I love Chastain Ford. As a matter of fact, I just stopped there yesterday. I stopped over there to see the great folks, Allie and Patrick and Justin and all, they're just unbelievable. They're just so, so good. I love doing business with them, and I do business with them. And listen, I buy my cars from them. They're just like you do. They don't treat me any different than they would treat you, than they will treat you. They're going to make sure that you get the best car that you could possibly get at the best price that you could probably get it at. And you're going to get all of the discounts that you can possibly get. You're going to get the rebates. They're not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. They are perfect at this, and you will love it. And you're going to get the service that is second to none. You have any issue whatsoever, they're going to stand behind those vehicles every single time. And you're going to get that promise from Chastain Ford. You're joining the Chastain family. I joined the Chastain family, and I ain't getting out. Family is the most important thing. And the Chastain family is the best car dealer I've ever dealt with. And you will too. All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. One place to go. Chastain Ford.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench.
Tell them again.
The Bench.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.